for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2014 Annual Ladies Conference being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Friday evening, February 14, 2014. Jerry McGee is the speaker of the service teaching on orphan spirit.
All righty. And then tomorrow afternoon, Sister Jerry McGee will be at 3:15. And that being said, Sister Jerry McGee, would you please come up and just go ahead and you have the rest of the evening.
Yeah.
Amen. We missed her at the little camp. And we're so glad she's able to be here with us.
Well, everybody said you're being attacked by the devil, but it was a Holy Ghost realignment is what it was. Learn to look for God in everything you go through, okay? Had I not got sick, I wouldn't have got delivered from a whole bunch of stuff. You know, when you all you can do is lay there on the flat of your back, you and listen, you can learn some things. So I thank the Lord for letting me get sick. Last time I think I was sick was 2005, and I just taught a seminar. And when I say sick, when I have to stay in bed. And I started getting sick the minute the seminar was over, and I was in a hotel for about 5 days. And the Lord delivered me from some things then. But anyway, I praise the Lord for getting sick.
That's right. Amen.
I do. I've been asking, I'll just share this real quick. This is not the message. The message is long, and I'm going to try to make it short as I can, okay? But I think it'll be worth listening to because I think it applies to everybody. But I'd been asking the Lord, all of a sudden this last year I started getting cramps all over my body, and my heart was doing funny things, and I would get indigestion, and for 50 years, if I ate the least little thing, I'd get sleepy, so then I'd drink a cup of coffee. Well, for 7 days, 24 hours a day, I slept. The only symptoms I really felt was congestion, and I'd get up and feel like I was going to pass out. So I knew I couldn't make it to Lake Hamilton. But anyway, so I thought, this is really strange. I don't have cramps in my feet. I don't have a headache. I don't have indigestion. My heart's not doing funny things. And I'm thinking, now, what am I not doing? Well, I wasn't drinking caffeine, and I wasn't taking my vitamins. So I thought, maybe it's those two things, because... Anyway, so I gave the Lord the caffeine from now on throughout eternity. It's His. I gave it to Him as a sacrifice. And I'm not preaching against caffeine, okay? I don't see anything wrong with it, except for me, it was idolatry. I would use it to push my push. You push in your heart. You're pushing with it. So it was idolatry because I was trusting it for strength. Had I not been sick for a week and slept 24 hours a day... then I would have never been without the caffeine. So I would have never known. So the Lord let me get sick. I've never been able to eat oatmeal without it just making me so tired and bombing me out. And it would give me indigestion. I'd always get indigestion. Anyway, I'm eating oatmeal every day, off caffeine. Doesn't make me tired. I'm not getting tired after I eat unless I overeat. So I've been delivered. My heart quit doing funny things. No cramps, no indigestion. Have not had indigestion. I cannot take vitamins without taking apple cider vinegar to take the vitamins. Now I'm taking vitamins without anything. So I just praise the Lord for getting sick. You know, God loves you so much. He wants to answer your questions, and He knows just what it takes. He's so smart. Amen. This message is on an orphan spirit. Now, you don't have to grow up in a foster home or an orphanage to have an orphan spirit. Many people are suffering today from an orphan spirit because of abandonment. You know, the spirit, an orphan spirit and a spirit of abandonment and rejection go hand in hand. And Jesus said, let's pray. Lord, in the name of Jesus, this is your message. I pray that you deliver whatever you want to set your children free. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just pray that you cover this camp with the blood of Jesus. Lord, I pray holy angels all in this place. Lord, I put on meekness. I put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I want to clothe myself with humility. Father, I want to be a tree of life that rivers of living water will come forth to touch your children. Lord, I pray that every person, including myself, will go home changed and different and delivered. In Jesus' name. Before I start this, the greatest deliverance anybody can have is to be born again. And if you've never been born again, you need to be born again. Lynn was born again here just a few months ago.
And I tingled from the head, my top of my head,
like she thought she was a Christian. I thought I was a Christian. I accepted the Lord at a Billy Graham crusade, was baptized, kept on cussing, kept on smoking, kept on telling dirty jokes, and my life didn't change. But when in 1960, my life changed, and I was born again. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things pass away, and behold, all things become new. If your life, and I'm not talking about believing in Jesus with your head. I'm talking about when what's in your head gets down in your heart and changes your life. And you know, Howard Pittman estimates that 90% of church members are lost. Leonard Ravenhill says 98% of church members are lost. Just religious. Religious people just deal with the outside. But God's children deal with heart issues. And when you are born again, you don't want to be the same. You're not the same. A cuss word came out of my mouth when I was born again. And I said, Lord, I wasn't even in church. I said, Lord, that doesn't even sound like anything should come from a Christian's mouth. And that day, 50 years ago, I was set free from using bad language. So if there's been no change, examine your heart this weekend. Have you been born again? Truly born again. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. And that's the greatest deliverance anybody can have. And so we just, in Jesus' name, we bind Satan, principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, wicked spirits in heavenly places. We bind you in the heavenly places and on this earth. We forbid you to work with, communicate with, make contact with anyone on this earth or in the heavenly places to work divination against this meeting or this camp. Or Merrill, or Kevin, Patty, Linda, Sandy, Rick, Don, Ada, anybody that has a part of this camp, we break your power, Satan, over this camp and every person that's here in Jesus' name. We lose holy angels into this place. Are not the angels ministering spirits sent to help and care for those who are to receive his salvation? So, Lord, we thank you for the ministry of angels in this place. In Jesus' name. Jesus said, so you don't have to be put in an orphanage or be put in a foster home to be an orphan, a spiritual orphan. There's physical orphans and that have been, because of circumstances, taken away from their parents by become wards of the state. But, you know, children that grow up in homes where there's a parental abandons children through the lack of care, the lack of love, the lack of involvement, the lack of nurture, opens us up to an orphan spirit. And Jesus said in John 14:18, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. What a promise. Jesus said, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're not an orphan. You're an heir of Christ, a joint heir of Christ. Hallelujah. You're a son of God. You've been adopted into the kingdom of God. And we're of a different family. One of the great benefits of knowing Jesus as Savior and Lord and Master is that he said he will never leave you, never fail you, and never forsake you. And I can tell you, I've been a Christian probably 51 years now, and he has never let me down once. In fact, I'm seeing that everything in life, he's engineering. even the bad things, even the things that you think are an attack of the enemy cannot touch you lest God allows it. You're indestructible till God wants you out of here. Nothing can hurt you, harm you. As long as God wants you here, you'll be here. His plans and purposes cannot be thwarted. The orphan spirit, the spirit of abandonment, and the spirit of rejection go hand in hand. When parents have abandoned us, either physically, emotionally, mentally, it opens us up to an orphan spirit. The Bible speaks a lot about orphans and how God takes care of the widows and how He takes care of the orphans. In fact, He protects them. In fact, His Word says if you mistreat an orphan or a widow, judgment from God comes upon you. But many today are suffering because of this orphan spirit. Because of death, because of divorce, because of indifference. Sometimes because of parents working all the time out of necessity. And now you see with the inflation the way it is, how many of you know that $100 doesn't go very far today? And that's the devil's plan and the plan of the One World Order to destroy homes, to create inflation, to take people's money where they have to work and scratch to make a living. So just out of necessity, sometimes parents have to do this, and kids are left to raise themselves. I don't need to tell you that latchkey kids has become an epidemic here in America. I was trying to find, I quickly looked on the internet and was looking for something more recent about the percentage of kids that were latchkey kids, but I found in 2006 was the latest one I could find in 15 minutes. But that 77% of kids were latchkey kids. And we can say if that was in 2006, you can imagine what it is today. And it's a plot by the enemy of our souls to destroy us, to destroy the homes in America, and to destroy America. Not to mention those of you who've been taken away, becoming wards of the state, being given over to foster homes, or being taken from your parents through and given over to child protection, or just leave them. You know, one lady I sold a puppy to, her mother was, she was conceived in a rape, and her mother just took her to the hospital and left her. And tried to kill her, tried to abort her. So she had a fear her whole life. She had bars on her windows, because when your mother attempts to abort you, it opens you up to fear of being killed. And she had bars on the windows of her house. And God set her free from fear. The lack of nurture, the lack of care, neglect of duty, for whatever reason, opens children up to an orphan spirit. This is not to condemn those of you who are having to work, but it's to encourage you that God restores the years the locusts have eaten. It's not too late for us to get delivered. It's not too late for us to correct those things that we're doing wrong for those of you who have children now. And it's not to condemn anyone. I've made more mistakes than anyone. Sometimes we think, you know, if we could go back and do some things differently, there's things I would do differently. But you can't go back, and because we're human, we make mistakes. But thank God He restores the years the locusts have eaten. And I thank God for that. And so today's the day we can all start over. The thing to remember here is that we have been, because we've been born again, we have never been orphaned. We've been adopted as sons and daughters of the Most High God, of the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. We're joint heirs with Christ. Romans 8:17 says, "And if children, heirs, and also heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, so that we may also be glorified with Him." Sometimes people take that scripture, if we suffer for Him, that God wants you sick. He doesn't want you sick. That means if you crucify your flesh, deny yourself, take up your cross and follow Him, your flesh suffers. That's what that means. And so Galatians 3:29 says, "And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants, heirs according to the promise." Romans, already read that one. James 2:5, "Listen, my beloved brethren, did not God choose the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which He promised to those who love Him?" John 14:16-18, Jesus said, "And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another Helper, that He may be with you forever, that is, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not behold Him or know Him. But you know Him, because He abides with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans." What a tremendous promise that God gives us. In fact, God has sent us the spirit of adoption as sons. Romans 8:15, "For you have not received the spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry out, Abba, Father." And that's an awesome provision. A person who feels like an orphan feels cut off from intimacy and blessings with the Father. Feeling like an orphan can be debilitating. A person who feels like an orphan feels like he has no inheritance. And this is because the parents are emotionally, physically, mentally abandoning them. They've had to raise themselves. And many of you have had to raise yourself. No, if they feel like there's no real heritage, no sense of security in feeling protected. And as I read these things, if this, you know, you don't have to have all these symptoms, but as I read these things, if this applies to you, be forgiving your mother and father for the abandonment. No sense of security or feeling protected. No one really cares, or you feel like no one really cares about you or your destiny, or you have no one to champion your cause. You feel abandoned. You can be a controller or let people control you. Never seem to be able to rest, like a spirit of unrest. Today when I was driving, the Lord showed me that when we have a problem resting, it's because we have the wrong yoke on, our yoke. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon your neck and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble, and you shall find rest for your soul, for my burden is light and my load is easy." So we don't rest because we have our own yokes on. We have other people's yokes on. We have a yoke of iron. But unrest is a curse in Deuteronomy 28. You will find no resting place for the sole of your feet. God will give you a trembling heart, failing of eyes, despair of soul. So you see, that's a curse because of disobedience to the voice of God and His commandments. A person that has an orphan spirit feels inferior and insecure. Maybe has an attention-getting spirit or wanting attention. Fear, torment, and sometimes even terror. A victim mentality, confusion over direction and over identity, lack of trust, fear of letting go, can easily be seduced by people with the wrong motives who show an interest, look for love in all the wrong places, looks for someone to guide and to direct but never find one you can trust, feel like no one cares, always looking for someone to cover you because you feel uncovered, has a spirit of rejection, always looking for that someone to be everything my parents were not, picked on, seek approval of man, thrown away, and you base your worth on what you do. And sometimes you might feel like you're excelling, and sometimes you feel like you come up short. Sonship is important. In fact, so important that all creation is groaning for the mature sons of God. The following 11 traits contrast the orphan spirit from the spirit of sonship. The orphan spirit operates out of insecurity and jealousy. The spirit of sonship functions out of love and acceptance. The orphan spirit is jealous of the success of his brothers. The mature son is committed to the success of his brothers. The orphan spirit serves God to earn the father's love. The mature son serves God out of a sense of divine acceptance and favor. The orphan spirit tries to medicate its deep internal alienation through physical stimulation, through drugs, through psychiatric medications. The mature son walks in the joy in the presence of the Lord for comfort. The orphan spirit is driven by a need for success. The spirit leads the mature son into his calling and mission. The orphan spirit uses people as an object to fulfill goals. Mature sons serve people to bless the kingdom and release his people to fulfill their destiny in Christ. The orphan spirit has anger and fits of rage, or internalizes anger, which can be one of the roots to migraine headaches if you're a stuffer. I remember years ago I did a seminar out in California, and I prayed for this man. He said, I have an anger problem. And I prayed for him, and the anger problem didn't go away. And so we went to a healing school in Australia, and they asked God to unlock that man's anger. And this man threw a temper tantrum in the floor, and it took about 5 people to hold him down when God released that pent-up, internalized anger that he had. And the man was healed of the anger thing, but he stuffed it. And you know, when parents don't let you share your feelings or your emotions, you become a stuffer. The orphan spirit is always in competition with others. The spirit of sonship is always blessing others. The orphan spirit lacks self-esteem. The spirit of sonship walks in love and acceptance of Father God. The orphan spirit receives its primary identity through material possessions, physical appearance, and activities. The spirit of sonship is grounded in the sonship and the Father's affirmation. Now, regarding the role of a mother, and if your mother wasn't these things, each of these things is something to forgive your mother for. You know, most of us say, generally, I forgive my mother for all these things. But in healing and deliverance, you have to be specific. I had great parents, weren't perfect, but I've been forgiving them for things for 50 years and asking God to forgive me for bad attitudes I had toward them, lack of appreciation. But a mother is very important if the Lord chooses to give you physical children. But you know, if you don't have physical children, you have spiritual children. And you may not believe this, but a godly mother is one of the most important roles that any human can have in this world. Mothers are to love their children, be sensible, pure workers at home. Well, society has kind of messed that up for us, but God will show us how to work that out. Kind, be subject to their own husbands. Now, you know, I believe that that's been, we are to submit to authority, but I believe that, as Carla said earlier, that's been so perverted that wives are taught they have to obey demons. And I'm telling you, destruction comes. God is the true authority. We're to love authority. We're to respect authority. We're to be kind to authority. We're to serve in love. But we are not to obey demons, because God wants us to obey Him. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice and they obey me, and they will not follow the voice of a stranger." You know, if I hear the voice of Jesus to a little 2-year-old, 3-year-old, 4-year-old, I wouldn't dare not listen, because it's the voice of Jesus. But the voice of a stranger means the voice of another. And so mothers are to care for their children, to nurture their children, be affectionate, embrace their children, meet their children's needs, befriend them, treat each child as a unique gift. Most of us weren't treated that way. You know, my mother was a great mother, but she worked all the time, so there's emotional abandonment. You know, she would never just sit down and talk to you. Her mind was always preoccupied with the things that she had to do, but she always took care of me. A mother is to be available morning, noon, and night, involved with her children, interacting, discussing, processing life, teaching the scriptures, training, teaching skills, helping a child develop their gifts and their talents. And these are their scriptures to back this up. Discipline their children. And that's not to just say, "Oh, honey," just swat them a little. That just makes them mad. My mother only spanked me twice. She hit me with a clothes hanger once. I don't remember the other time. It just makes you mad. She should have beat my rear end off. She said it wouldn't have done any good. When I was grown, I said, "Mother, why didn't you spank me?" She said, "It wouldn't have done any good. I could have killed you and it wouldn't have done any good." But boy, my daddy whipped me 4 times and I remember all 4. Everyone was a memorial occasion. Usually always for sassing. And so mothers have a unique and a critical role in the lives of their children. A mother feeds an infant and nurtures an infant. And I just want to share about breastfeeding. A child is bonded to his mother in a healthy way through breastfeeding. It builds her immune system. It builds security and trust in a child, and that's scriptural. The lack of breastfeeding is one of the roots to breast cancer. You know, sometimes a woman's not breastfed, and that's what God made them for. A person's not breastfed, and so then they don't have that nurture. Then they get married, and their husband's not a nurturer because they judge their mother and father, or their mother. And then they're bitter and they get breast cancer and they think it's the husband or whoever, but it goes back to mother. Psalms 22:9 says, "Yet you are he who brought me forth from the womb. You made me trust when upon my mother's breast." So you see how breastfeeding builds trust. A child feels protected, feels safe. Psalms 131:2 says, "Surely I have composed and quieted my soul like a weaned child rests against his mother. My soul is like a weaned child within me." And of course, there's the Proverbs 31 woman. Y'all are all familiar with that, and I'm not going to, for time's sake, not read it. But I want to read some quotes from famous men regarding their mother. And this blessed me. Back in the early 1700s, a stooped-over elderly woman with crippled fingers used to pray for her son every day as she did the family wash. She prayed that God would use her son John in a mighty way to touch the lives of others. God answered that mother's prayers, and today John Newton's hymn, "Amazing Grace," is one of the most beloved hymns ever written. And I think that's why you sang it tonight, Jane. John Quincy Adams, although highly educated at a very early age, said, "My mother was a minister of blessing to all human beings within her sweet sphere of action. All that I am, my mother made me." James Garfield's father died when he was just 2 years old, leaving his mother all alone to raise him. On the day he was inaugurated, after taking his oath of office, President Garfield leaned over and kissed his mother and said, "Mother, you have brought me to this." On the day of his mother's funeral, President Ulysses Grant told the preacher, "Make no reference to me. My mother gained nothing by any position I have filled or honored that may have been paid me. I owe all I am to her earnest, modest, and sincere piety." Abraham Lincoln's mother used to sit Abe on her knee every day and read to him from the Bible. She said, "I would rather Abe be able to read the Bible than to own a farm. If he could have but just one. Nancy Todd Lincoln died when Abe was just 9 years old. Here were the last words she spoke to young Abraham Lincoln. "Abe, I'm going to leave you now, and I shall not return. I want you to be kind to your father and live as I have taught you. Love your heavenly Father and keep his commandments." The late General Douglas MacArthur said, "It was my spirited, sainted mother who taught me devotion to God and love of country, which have sustained me in many lonely and bitter moments of decision in distant lands. To her I yield anew a son's reverence, thanks for her guidance on a path of duty as God gave me the light to see that duty." Dr. G. Campbell Morgan was one of the greatest preachers who ever lived, and he had four brothers that were preachers. And somebody asked him one day, "Who is the greatest preacher you've ever known?" And they all four answered, "My mother." Mothers are among a rare breed of women whose true value and worth cannot be measured in dollars and cents. So we must never underestimate the role of a mother. But what about fathers? You know, Proverbs 17:6 says, "And the glory of children is their fathers." God tells fathers to train up their children in the way they should go. And when they're old, they won't depart from it. And train them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Not child abuse, but discipline is teaching, training, and guidance. And you know, when we come to Christ and we get born again, God corrects those through the discipline that He brings about in our lives. He corrects the mistakes that mother and father made. And our mothers and fathers are really products of their mothers and fathers that were perverted. I'll tell you about my neighbor in the next message. I'm going to teach on pain at 3 o'clock in my 3 o'clock session. But his whole family were stubborn, stiff-necked, and perverse. It was just a generational curse that came down the bloodline. Anyway, so the sins of the fathers come on to the children to the third and fourth generation. In societies where the role of the father seems to be irrelevant, detached, and impersonal, then children are more apt to get in trouble. As adults, they may be slow to want to take on responsibilities of life. Terrorism, rape, and violent crime proliferate in societies where there's no loving father figure in the home. And it's well known that children, for instance, who've been sexually abused, until God heals them, many times they become abusers too. It's just a spirit that transfers down the family line. Statistics show that children raised in homes without fathers are more likely to take drugs, go to jail, commit crimes, have children out of wedlock, live in poverty, drop out of school, and commit suicide. And let me tell you, the psychiatric medicine they're putting people on today, America is over-medicated. And the side effects of psychiatric medicine, is one of the side effects is suicide. Boys who grew up without fathers are two times more apt to go to prison than children that have fathers. 68% of rapists and 72% of adolescent murders happen with boys who never knew or lived with their earthly father. It's been proven that male homosexuals almost always describe a poor father relationship. Little boys don't bond. It's normal for a little boy to be bonded to his mother till he's about three, but after that, if he don't bond to his father, it opens him up to homosexuality. Because the mother is the prominent figure in his life, he takes on her familiar spirit and then begins to talk like women and becomes feminine. Sometimes girls that become lesbians because they hate their fathers. I understand that many, many prostitutes are really lesbians because they hate men. And sometimes it can work the other way. They just want a loving relationship with a mother because they never had a mother. I know people that when they were in the womb, they heard that their father wanted a boy and they're a girl, so they try to earn the father's love by doing boy things. So there's different reasons, but it's the pain, it's the parent's failure to train up a child in the way he should go. You know, boys that become homosexuals, for them, there was no man to pour into them or guide them or direct them or to teach them how men should act or how they should relate with women. There's no male figure to take them hunting and do things with them. In the world, it's referred to as father hunger. You know, a boy that has a father hunger will become a homosexual. It's like a hole down in their heart that they just crave the love of a father. And it's the same with girls. If girls don't have a healthy relationship with their father, they're very promiscuous because they're looking for some man in their life and then they get sexually involved. Being bonded to the mother, boys are left with having their mother's familiar spirit and her feminine characteristics. A child's basic personality is formed in the first 5 years of his life. But that's why God says that he disciplines every son whom he loves, because God sets out when we become born again, then he becomes, through disciplining us, he corrects those things that mom and dad didn't correct. And you could have the best parents in the world, but they're human. No matter who your parents are, because we're human, you're not going to have a perfect parent. You know, but God is perfect. He is not like our mother and father. He's not like the best mother and father. He's far ahead. He's perfect. And he loves us unconditionally. He's serious about sin, but he loves us unconditionally. A daddy affirms a boy's masculinity, and a daddy affirms a little girl's femininity. And for the parent, the daddy to want a different sex than the boy or the girl, the babies can hear in the womb. I know my son Todd, about a month before he died, he said, "Mom," and he died of AIDS. For those of you who don't know, he lived a homosexual lifestyle. He said, "Mom, I always felt like I was a girl." And see, part of that was his daddy was a junior college football All-American, a football player. And he said, "Well, when if it's a boy, he'll probably be a sissy." And I don't remember saying I wanted a girl, but when they told me at the hospital I had a boy, my heart sank. And when he was 2 weeks old, I was bathing him. My aunt said, "He's just too pretty to be a little boy." And I said, "Well, you'll just have to be my little girl." See, that's where that lie came in, that he's always a girl. You know, words are so detrimental. Many of you grew up in verbal abuse. It's so grievous to hear a parent speak negative of their children when they're growing up. Todd, he was a liar from the time he was 2 years old. And I knew I knew he'd been born again when he said, "Mom, I told you a lie. I need to tell you the truth." I knew he'd been born again. But I used to say, not just ignorant, "That kid is the biggest liar I've ever seen." Well, that's exactly what he was until he got born again and God changed him. There's many things that I would like to go back and change. I would change that for sure. Never speak negative. Bless your children. When you speak blessings, the grace of God is imparted to that child to carry out what you bless. When you speak curses, it's like a magnet. It draws demons to that. Whatever you say, it draws magnets. Like a magnet, it draws demons to that child. And discipline your children. Children nowadays are just undisciplined. And it's the parents' fault. You can know what's going on in the kids when you look at the parent. I mean, when you look at the kids, you can know what's going on in the parent. A caring father who nourishes an intimate, loving relationship with the child makes a profound effect upon his life. Remote, indifferent, unavailable, impersonal fathers give children the impression that God's the same way. God is always available. Proverbs 13:22, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. And so a father can leave an evil inheritance or he can leave a good inheritance to the children. You know how I came upon this message some years ago of the children, the glory of children is their fathers, is I had taught two seminars where I had a man, an African-American man that graduated from the University of Texas, went into military training, and because of his, he was an African-American, he was rejected. And that, you know what, God is no respecter of persons. He loves every color. There's not one color better than the other, and anybody that thinks so needs to get saved. The other day I was in Macy's, and I overheard these African-American sales ladies talking. And so they were talking about, I guess, somebody that had said something about their race. And I said, "I want you to know this, that some of my best friends are African-Americans. I love you." And she told me there was a customer that came into Macy's that said, "There's just too many African-American sales ladies in here." I said, "Honey, that lady needs to get saved." She said, sure does. But the lady was a Christian. She knew the Lord. But, you know, when we have that kind of attitude, Jesus said, "You'll know you're my disciples if you have love for one another." How can you say you love God if you can't love your Christian brother whom you've seen? You can't love God whom you have not seen if you can't love your Christian brother whom you've seen. And so I ministered to him. He said, I never knew my daddy, but I had a stepfather that was, he did things with me, but then he became an alcoholic and then he abandoned me. And the scripture that came to me was, "The glory of children is their fathers." My translation says the glory of sons is their fathers. King James says the glory of children is fathers, because it certainly does apply to girls too. And I didn't understand that scripture. And then I went to Corpus and taught another seminar. And another man came up and he said, "You know, I've got a college education." He said, "I've got my real..." And this was a white man. He said, "I have a college education." He said, "I have real estate license." He said, "But I can't sell anything." I said, "How did you grow up?" He said, "My daddy and my mother got a divorce." And he said, "And my daddy would spend all of his money on his new wife's kids, and he never would give me anything." And the Lord showed me again, the glory of children is their fathers. The glory of sons is their fathers. I didn't understand it. So that night, it's like I was dreaming about it or something, but I woke up and I heard the word starch. You have to know me. I don't iron and I don't use starch. I have dog clothes that I change two or three times a day because I have a kennel. And I go out and get all that scungy water, nasty dog water on me. And scooping dog, whatever. And I don't iron. Anyway, so when the word starch came to me, I thought, starch. So I get up in the morning and I go ask this lady, I said, "Do you have a dictionary?" So I looked up the word starch, and this is what it means: the quality or active mental and physical energy, verb, vigor, dash, drive, get up and go, punch, starch, spunkiness, vigorousness, vitality, hustle, liveliness, spirit, vivacity, zip, enthusiasm, and the opposite is lethargy, languor, and spiritlessness. And so what the Lord was showing me, that children that don't have fathers lack starch. And so boys and girls who did not grow up with their earthly fathers are lacking starch. In other words, they're aimless. They lack mental and physical energy. It's like they have no one to champion their cause. And the Lord really brought this home to me when it's kind of like when Kyle was in high school, and by then, you know, his daddy had left us for another woman and married his secretary. And so I remarried. And so my husband had he'd do Christian retreats. I mean, he was a minister, and he would do Christian retreats. And so there was a ball game that night, and all the daddies were supposed to wear their kids' jerseys. And it broke my heart because Kyle's stepfather, he didn't have his daddy, and his stepfather had to do that retreat and wouldn't go to the ball game. And I was kind of mad, to say the least. In fact, I was stewing in the bedroom, so mad. I couldn't believe it. It just broke my heart that Kyle wouldn't have anybody wear his jersey. And Kyle must have known I was mad at his stepdad. So anyway, he came in the bedroom and he said, "Mom, if I could do all of this over again," in other words, "all that I've gone through," he said, "Mom, I would do the same. I'd do it all over again." Meaning he had a great relationship with his stepfather. But anyway, he was just trying to encourage me. But you know what? When a daddy abandons their kids, he leaves them as an orphan. They have no one to wear their jersey. No one to champion their cause. Many of you never knew your daddy, or if you knew your daddy, he was a couch potato, or he was never there, or he was working, or he just was a zero compared to what he should be as a daddy. And so on the other hand, children that grew up with a raging, controlling, angry, perfectionistic father have too much starch. We have a precious man in our congregation, and he is the most godly man, but he's so stiff because he grew up with a raging perfectionist father. He can't be loose because it's like you always have to be on guard. Now, aimless means devoid of direction or purpose, not producing, achieving a desired end or effect, unsuccessful. Now, remember these two men that said they couldn't succeed in life, and God said it was the glory of children, the glory of sons is their fathers. It says, not producing or achieving a desired end or effect, unsuccessful, ineffective, ineffectual, unproductive, effavacious, I can't say that word, fruitless, aborted, failed, futile, unfruitful, useless. This is how they feel, but it keeps them from producing until God heals them. Careless and irresponsible, not producing or achieving a desired end. And so children that grow up without fathers they're aimless until they find God the Father, who gives them direction, who gives them purpose, who changes all of that. God is the greatest daddy you could ever have. And we're going to pray in a minute and ask Him to come be your Father. On the other hand, so children that grew up with raging perfectionist fathers, angry fathers, they have too much starch. Hebrews 12:9-10 says, furthermore, we all had earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respected them. How much more? They disciplined us for a short time, it seemed best to them, but He disciplines us for our good, that we may share His holiness. Because as God corrects the mistakes, He corrects that area so that He can produce holiness in us. So, in a positive sense, it means that if we could respect our Father, we respected them. But if we couldn't respect them, they confounded us. They made us feel mixed up and damned and uneasy. Proverbs 17:6, and the glory, beauty, glory of children is their fathers. And I looked up the word glory, and this is what it means. Great honor or distinction. And I want to say that it also means a nimbus, which is a cloudy radiance. It's like a diadem in the spirit. Children that have earthly fathers, in the spirit realm, the demons say, you better leave him alone because he's got a daddy. But if they don't have that glory, the demons say, you can pick on that person, you can pick on them because they don't have a daddy. But you better leave that one alone because he's got a daddy. So that causes a child to be grow up as a victim, have a victim spirit because they're picked on. Glory means great honor or distinction. It means renown, something conferred honor or renown, a highly praiseworthy asset, adoration, praise, and thanksgiving offered in worship, majesty, beauty, splendor, resplendence, a height of achievement, enjoyment, prosperity. And the word nimbus means, that's another word for glory, a cloudy radiance said to surround a classical deity when on earth. A radiant light that appears usually in the form of a circle or halo about or over the head in the representation of God, a demagogue, a saint or a sacred person such as a king or an emperor, a splendid atmosphere aura. So a child that has a good earthly father has an aura in the spirit realm. You can't see it with the human eye. But in the spirit realm, the enemy knows he better leave him alone. How many of you seen that YouTube of this father that takes this kid and swims with him and pushes him in a wheelchair? Have you seen that video? That makes me cry, that daddy, the love he had for that crippled boy. The boy didn't miss anything. I mean, he would row a boat with him. He was in the band. I mean, he didn't have any legs. He had arms. And he would push him to march with the band. He would push his wheelchair while he played it was awesome. And so a child that doesn't have a father doesn't have that aura. It also means an aureole, a circle of light or radiance surrounding the head or body of a representative of a deity or holy person, a halo. In this sense, to rejoice triumphantly, exult, like in a sports event. You know, a child with a father, a good father, it's like the father's running along, cheering him along. Or you see these runners, how they have these coaches that are coaching them along the sideway to run. So a kid that has a daddy has a coach. And it always blesses me to see good daddies. There's not many of them today. What's so sad? I know that what is the couple that teaches here? The young men that teach the summer camp, the big godly men. Yeah. He told me, I ministered to him once, and he said, you know, my mother taught me that God was my father. So those of you who have children who are fatherless, teach them that God is their father. Because those boys are two of the most godly men I know. This is not to depress you. Hey, the good news is God's going to come and be your glory.
Amen.
So
Amen.
Don't get depressed. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Something meriting the highest praise or regard. This is what glory means. Greatness, splendor, grandeur, magnificent. And I'm not going to look these words up. You can, because it's just for time's sake. I know y'all are tired. It means stateliness, nobility, majesty, a state or position of outstanding power or importance, eminence, preeminence, which means superior to or notable above all others, outstanding, distinction, illustriousness, prestige, prominence, renown, notability, celebrity, fame, repute, reputation, noble and imposing splendor, impressiveness, sublimity, exalt, celebrate, bubble over, crow, delight, triumph, jump for joy, rejoice, revel, make merry. Those are words for glory. Now the opposite of glory is paltriness, lacking in importance or worth, trivial, wretched or contemptible, trash. This is what these words mean. It's not saying that a person that doesn't have a father is this, but that's how they're treated and that's how they feel. Ragged, deficient in quality or quantity, meager, inadequate, mere, unsubstantial, scant, scanty, skimpy, sparse, scarce, infinitesimal, significant difference, spare, poor, limited, small, little, slight, smallness, triviality, lowliness, unimportance, insignificant, commonness, and to be downcast. Colossians 3:21 says, fathers, do not exasperate your children that they may not lose heart. Means give up, quit, be crushed, fractured, fragmented, ruptured, weakened in strength, that they may not be discouraged. Which means to take away the courage of, to lessen the hope of, lessen the confidence of, to try to prevent by disapproving, to frown upon, dishearten, depress, be of low spirits, to hinder through fear, loss of incentive. So that's what the word, fathers, provoke not your children to anger. In conclusion, the greatest gift known to humanity, to us, is to receive and walk in the love of God the Father. And that's where God wants us. To have that spirit of adoption come so we feel adopted into the family of God. That He'll come and be our glory. The most wonderful asset of being a Christian is that we have a unique relationship with the Creator of the universe. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, Wonderful Counselor, Almighty God, Everlasting Father. And so through faith in Jesus, we can call Him Abba, Father. Acts 17:24 says, through God the Father is creator of all things. He is known as a personal and loving Father only to those who call on Him and seek His face. And so the good news, Psalms 146:9, the Lord protects the stranger. He supports the fatherless and the widow. Hallelujah. And so, to get free so that He can come and be our glory. Now, He's not going to come and be your glory so you can live in sin. I mean, the condition is you walk in holiness and righteousness and obedience to His Word. That doesn't mean you'll be perfect, but it means that, like Patty says, you're constantly changing. God says you'll change from glory to glory, strength to strength. The more you repent, the stronger you get. The more you repent, the more of God's glory you have. And so forgive your earthly father. Psalms 27:10 says, "For my father and mother have forsaken me, the Lord will take me up." And so ask God to take you up and gather you to Himself. Ask the Heavenly Father to fill the void, to fill up that father hunger, that father hole in your heart. Psalm 68:5, "A father of the fatherless and a judge for the widow is God in His holy habitation." Since God is a father to the fatherless, ask Him to come and be your father. And lift your hands after you get through repenting. I want you to lift your hands to heaven and ask God to come be your glory and receive it. Receive that spirit of adoption. Okay, He's the greatest father you could ever have. He's perfect. Nothing like the best of fathers. He is a perfect father. So why don't you stand up and just start naming the things, the negatives of your mother and father, the things that I've named, where your parents have fell short. Repent of where you fell short as a mother. And forgive your father for every negative thing you can think about him. And don't just say, "I forgive him for all these things. I forgive him for being a bum. I forgive him for beating me, for molesting me, for not being there, for divorcing my mother. Lord, search my heart. Test my thoughts. Lord, let me know the truth that sets me free. I want you to come and be my father. Lord, show me what I need to repent of to get rid of this orphan spirit, these wrong attitudes I've had. Search my heart, O God." Pray with me. "Search my heart, O God, and test my thoughts. Show me everything I need to deal with to be free of this orphan spirit and the pain of this orphan spirit. I ask for the truth that sets me free." And just deal with everything. And you know, forgiveness is not an emotion. I told a lady the other day, "You have to forgive your father." She shook her head no. I said, "If you don't forgive him, you can't get delivered." And it's not an emotion, it's a choice. You choose to forgive. You don't have to feel like it. You don't have to want to. You don't have to think it's fair. But you choose to do it because you love God more than the demon of unforgiveness. So ask the Lord to show you. And then when you get through, if you'll sit down, then we'll do some deliverance. Lord, in Jesus' name, pray with me. I forgive my mother and father for abandoning me physically, mentally, emotionally. If you were an illegitimate child, meaning your parents got pregnant with you before you were married, you were born with a spirit of lust, rejection, shame, and you received a lie in the womb that you don't belong here. You're here because God decided that He wanted you here. So let's break the generational curse just in case. Father, if my parents, if they conceived me before they got married, I forgive them. In the name of Jesus, I forgive them. Pray with me. I forgive them for everything I heard them say or do when I was in the womb. And I take accountability for the curse of the bastard going all the way back to Adam and Eve. Lord, will you go start with Adam and Eve and let your cleansing blood flow down through my bloodline, washing away any ground Satan's had in my life through this curse of a bastard, of illegitimacy. I break soul ties with my parents in Jesus' name. I just break that curse. I come against the root of rejection. I come against the spirit of lust, the spirit of shame, the spirit of rebellion I was conceived in. In Jesus' name, an illegitimate cannot enter the sanctuary of the Lord. So, Lord, that's a spiritual place. So, Lord, I bring them into the sanctuary of the Lord. In Jesus' name, we praise you, Lord. Lord, I just forgive my mother and father for not training me up in the way I should go. Lord, you've shown me many things to forgive them for. I forgive them for abandoning me, throwing me away, not wanting me, not loving me, not providing for me. I forgive them that I had to take care of them. I forgive them for not accepting me, not being affectionate, not showing unconditional love, not modeling with integrity. I forgive my mother for not breastfeeding me if she didn't. Father, I just, in the name of Jesus, forgive them for not being kind. I forgive them for not being sensible. I forgive them for being not being there, for being couch potatoes, be absent. I forgive them that I never knew them, or if I did know them, it was not good. I forgive them for not being affectionate. In the name of Jesus, I forgive my father that he was never in the home. He was never my glory. God, in the name of Jesus, I forgive my mother and father for not nurturing me. In Jesus' name, not bonding to me, not teaching me security, not teaching me to trust. I forgive them that I couldn't trust them. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you and praise you that I'm not an orphan. I thank you, Lord, that I've been born again, adopted into the family of God. And Lord, I receive a spirit of, lift your hands to heaven. I receive a spirit of adoption. And Lord, in Jesus' name, I ask you to take me up. You said when my mother and father forsake me, you will take me up. So Lord, would you take me up? Would you put me on your hip? It says in, I think, Isaiah 61, God wants to come to you as El Shaddai, the many-breasted God, like a little child puts her hands up, come get me, Daddy. He says he wants to put you on his hip and throttle you. Amplified says, lovingly bounce you up and down on his, God's maternal knees. And Lord, I ask you to take him up, pick him up, put him on your hip. I ask you to send a spirit of adoption as sons upon him in the name of Jesus. Now, I come against the demons that tell them there's no inheritance. I come against a spirit that tells them there's no inheritance, no heritage. I break the power of every spirit that makes them feel unprotected and naked in the name of Jesus. Lift your hands again. Lord, would you come be my glory? I forgive my father for not being my glory. Would you come and be my glory in the name of Jesus? Now receive it. Lord, I ask you to impart your glory to them. From this day forward, I declare that from now on, that when the demons see them, they'll say, you better leave them alone because they've got God as their father. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. All spirits that make them a victim has to go. All attention-getting spirits, you have to go in Jesus' name. All religious spirits, you have to go. Every lying spirit that tell them they have to do something to be acceptable. I break the power of failure. I break the power of control. I break the power of unrest, inferiority, insecurity, fear, torment, terror. I break the power of confusion over direction. I break the power of confusion over identity. I break the power of grief and sadness, broken heart, lack of trust, fear of letting go. I come against every demon that would cause them to be easily seduced. I break the power of looking for love in the wrong places, looking for someone to guide and direct them. Hey, that is God the Father. Feeling like no one cares. I break your power in the name of Jesus. All spirits that have uncovered them, Lord, I ask you to cover them with love. Your banner over us is love. I ask you to cover. Love covers, hate uncovers. Lord, I ask you to cover them with your love. I break the power of rejection in the name of Jesus. Always looking for someone to be everything their parents were not. I break the power of that. All spirits that cause them to be picked on, seek approval of man, be thrown away. I break your power in the name of Jesus. All spirits of jealousy, all spirits of insecurity, inferiority, I break the power of it. I break the power in the name of Jesus of being jealous over the success of others. I break the power of trying to earn the Father's love. I break the power of medicating myself in Jesus' name through physical stimulation. I break the power of this drive for success. I break the power of using people. I break the power of anger, fits of rage, internalizing anger. Lord, I ask you to unlock their anger in Jesus' name. I ask you to unlock it in the mighty name of Jesus. Forgive them, Lord, for stuffing, internalizing anger. Forgive their parents that they couldn't share their emotions. They had to stuff it. All spirits of lack of self-esteem, in the name of Jesus, I command you to go in the name of Jesus. Every spirit that causes them to have their identity through material possessions, physical appearance, and activities, in Jesus' name, I break the power of it. Lord, come as El Shaddai in the mighty name of Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. I bless you, mighty God. I bless you, God. I bless you, Lord. I bless you, mighty God, in the name of Jesus. I pray every spirit of crime, abusing drugs, having children out of wedlock, thinking sex is love, looking for a man to fill that father hole in the name of Jesus, looking for something else to fill it. I break the power of it in the name of Jesus. I come against every spirit that would cause them to feel inferior in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I come against all spirits of inadequacy. I come against, in Jesus' name, all spirits that make them feel scant, skimpy, sparse, scarce, invisible. I command you to go. Inappreciable, go in Jesus' name. All spirits that cause them to feel poor, limited, small, little, slight, trivial, trivia, insignificant, smallness, I command you to go. All spirits that make them feel like trash, ragged, deficient in quality or quantity, meager, I command you to go. All spirits of paltriness in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, all spirits that cause them to feel lowly, unimportant, insignificant, common, I command you to go in Jesus' name. And they forgive their parents for exasperating them, causing them to lose heart. Lord, I forgive my parents for disheartening me, dispiriting me, breaking my spirit, crushing me, fracturing me, fragmenting me, rupturing me, weakening me in strength, discouraging me. I command those spirits to go now in Jesus' name. Depression, discouragement, all spirits that cause them to tell them they're like a zero, that's a lie. I command you to go in the name of Jesus. God, I thank you that you're my Father. I thank you. I receive your glory. I receive you as my earthly, my heavenly Father. In Jesus' name, we break generational curses of an orphan spirit that came down through their parents being abandoned. Go in Jesus' name. Spirit of grief, go in Jesus' name. Sadness, broken heart, I bind up their broken heart. I give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, a mantle of praise instead of a spirit of fainting. Praise you, Lord. Sadness, you have to go. And moaning, mourning, go in Jesus' name. Lord, I just praise your holy name. Praise you, mighty God. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. Praise you, mighty God. We love you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Thank you for deliverance. Thank you that you're our King, our God. We can call you Abba, Father. We don't have to be orphans. You will not leave us as orphans. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that I'm not an orphan. I break the power of the lie that they're an orphan. I break the power of the lie that they have no one to champion their cause. They have no one to wear their jersey. I break the power of that lie in the name of Jesus. I break the power they have no coach. God, the Heavenly Father, He leads them into truth. He will come to them. He will not leave them as orphans in Jesus' name. Praise you, mighty God. Praise you, God. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, mighty God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We exalt you. What a mighty God you are. 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 Angels bow before you. Heaven and earth adore you. What a mighty God we serve you are. Lord, fill me with love, joy, peace. Long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. faith, meekness, and self-control. Now, come to the prayer meeting in the morning. Now, don't drag in just when the thing is over and we're wore out, okay? So come at 6 o'clock if you want prayer. And yes. God bless you. Lord, I ask you to let us feel like we've slept a million hours. In Jesus' name.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.